Cliffcentral.com.
Hungry like the wolf. I think maybe for this segment it would have to be hungry like the coyote. Because I got to be honest, when I got the press release about a coyote, a cross between a wolf and a coyote, I reached out to the press person and I said, is this a joke? Is this serious? Is this really a thing? Because if it is, I definitely have to do a segment about this. I've never even heard about it. She said, totally serious. It's happening and possibly dangerous. And that's why I've asked local wolf activist Dr. Maureen Hackett to come on the show and tell me about these crossbreeding experiments. I imagine they happen in the wild, unexpectedly, but they're also happening in controlled environments, even at the Wildlife Science Center in Forest Lake, between mating of wolves and coyotes. Dr. Hackett, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. Well, if I could just step back a second and let you know that actually the mating of a western gray wolf, which is the population of wolves in Minnesota, the only original wolf population, pure gray wolf in Minnesota, last ones here when they were put on the endangered species list in the entire lower 48, that pure gray wolf has never really been known to mate with a coyote in the wild, ever.
Really?
And so that's the most bizarre part about this, because they were doing something that doesn't occur in the wild.
Okay, so it hasn't been happening in the wild. So
it does not
yet
happen
this
wild.
It doesn't happen in the wild, but the crossbreeding is happening. And is it truly happening at the Wildlife Science Center in Forest Lake?
They used the semen from the wolves there, and they flew it out. This is my understanding. This is my reading of the paper that they put out and listening to the presentation done at the Midwest Wolf Stewart Conference, and then there was a webinar done. And so my interpretation was that they then, you know, after reading this, they flew the semen collected from 8 different wolves, kind of mixed them all together, I'm pretty sure, did some analysis, flew them out to Utah, impregnated these coyotes that they prepared with hormones and everything else, and then forced these, you know, pregnancies, and only one pregnancy resulted. Others were pretty gruesome results, and it's just bizarre. You know, wolves are much bigger than coyotes, it could be dangerous for the coyotes, too. It produced some bizarro things happening, and it's just, I thought, very unnecessary, in my opinion, to experiment by creating a separate species that doesn't even exist in the wild. It's very dangerous.
What was the outcome of that one coyote that got impregnated?
Well, 3 of them were impregnated, and one had a litter that had only went into labor for hours and then birthed one live pup and or a deceased fetus or had been dead for hours. One had a litter and ate them all. And, yes, and I think the stress of captivity, it's not normal. And it's not normal to have all, I mean, for them, they're wild animals, you know. And then the final one was a litter of 7, 6 lived. And within a year, they were in very small kind of enclosures. They were brought back 13 days old to the Wildlife Science Center. So they're there now, I believe.
Oh,
I don't know.
And they're still living there?
Yes, and they had another litter of the hybrids within the, they call them the F1 generation, because when animals, well, in general, they don't have any social structure. This is very dangerous. You see, wolves don't just breed, you know. They have a pack, and, you know, one pair has a litter, and the whole pack raises the litter. They have a whole social structure. So this was breaking that, because wolves do not mate with coyotes. They kill them sometimes, you know. They chase them off. They are very competitive with them, as they are with domestic dogs, and that's why they're pure gray wolves. So this is a very forced, unnatural mating. And
why is it happening?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question. Well, I think we have to look at a lot of things. You know, in my opinion, we have to look at the funding. Where is this coming from? Who's supporting it? Who's funding it? Why are they designing it? And in effect, what is the purpose? They claim to be somehow helping to define what another population of wolves is by whether the mitochondrial DNA, I mean, this gets into science, of the female coyote, which they think they see evidence of having entered into the wolf gene, 150,000 years ago. And so, therefore, that is not a pure breed of wolf. So I guess what I would say to you is, it seems to me, in my opinion, that this is all consistent with the recent decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to not list wolves in the lower 48 as threatened. Their reasoning was there was no proof they were one distinct population. The reason, they delist them saying they're a distinct population and they're recovered. They don't list them saying they're not a distinct population. There is no consistency, and it's bizarre. So how does this relate to that? I think that's how the authors or the designers managed to get the experiment approved, possibly, in my opinion, based on the people that funded it, the government entities, the United States Department of Agriculture, Wildlife Services. Those are the groups that usually are called in. That is the entity APHIS, Animal Plant Health Inspection Services, APHIS. Mm-hmm. Those are the entities that come in to kill wolves when there are allegations of wolf kills. Like when they killed those 15 wolves for the fact that they thought they killed five dogs in a period of 7 months. Mm-hmm. So they came in recently in April and tracked out 15 wolves. That's the department that does that.
Okay. Is there any thought of releasing these hybrids into the wild? There are about six of them now, you said, that survived?
Well, six survived, and then they had another litter, and I don't know how many. They forced the survival of the second litter. These F1 generations were juveniles having pups. It was an accidental, weird pregnancy they didn't even know about. But instead of leaving, nature to take its course because they weren't parenting them, they gave them to wolves to raise. There just seemed an awful lot of interest in making sure they lived. They did C-sections on the coyotes. They did a lot of things to these animals to make sure these hybrids lived. I doubt they have any plans to release them in the wild. In my opinion, I think they're more careful than that. But these that would be my biggest fear. I think more than anything, the goal is to, in, again, my opinion, to show that there is somehow not a pure wolf here, or that, wolves may somehow not be pure.
So they're trying to prove that then the gray wolf here is not pure. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not exactly saying that. I'm saying that if you can put doubt, and if you can say that, look, there's this other population, and they might have coyote DNA from 150,000 years ago. And, they're going to give you all kinds of reasons they did this study, and I shouldn't try to speak for them. But what I am saying is it's based on what the decisions have been and how things have been going with the wolf, there seems to be an attack phase of they're not distinct enough. They're not wolf enough. That's a very, yes, I know that, there's the reasons for this research are really not clear.
Very interesting.
They're just not. It's just like, how do I put it? Like when they say the Great Lakes wolf population, as if that's some specific distinct population. Really, the Great Lakes wolf population that we had, the last few hundred, is the only gray wolf that has, survived in the lower 48.
Sure.
Now the Mexican wolf is being brought back, but that's it. And so these other arguments about these eastern timber wolves that they allude to in this paper, and using that as a reason that they're creating these hybrids, makes no sense, really.
Wow. It's so interesting to me, I guess, that they're trying to prove something because maybe to take the wolves off the endangered species list. Is that what you're getting at?
To not list them, to not protect them, to not say they're to say they're some kind of weird modern hybrid, and modern is 150 to 300,000 years ago. To give you perspective, we have this pure gray wolf genetic makeup here that is what they call from the old world and could be as far back as 2 million years. So we have, that is an endangered species, and it's threatened, and the wolf is threatened because of this. We don't know how much genetic variation you need in a population of such a complex mammal to survive.
Yeah, it's fascinating, but no matter what the motivation, I think most of us would agree that breeding these two animals, it can't be a good thing.
Can't be a good thing for anyone, not for the wolves, not for the coyotes, and certainly not for humans. I mean, it's just, you know, it has and the problem is, and the reason that we're talking about this, and I thought it was important as a wolf advocate to bring it forward, is that they want to do more, it sounds like, based on the end of the abstract. And they want to study things like behavior, and behavior in captivity is not natural anyway.
And is it just up to them if they're allowed to do more? Do they have to get permission from the DNR to breed, or just because it's a research facility, they're allowed to do these experiments?
I think you would have to look at who is on their, you know, they said they have an ethics statement, and so I would think that they would have to, and somebody would have to look at the, it's an IACUC, I always forget what that stands for, but that's the, you know, it's a board to overlook what the, you know, the guide of the use of laboratory animals. But the main question to ask is, okay, what is the relevance to human or animal health? What is the advancement of knowledge?
Sure.
Or what is for the good of society? What is the good that we're getting out of the pain and suffering to the animals and to the risk?
They must have gotten those answers and approval before they did these first experiments, though, correct?
I do not have the history of that.
Okay.
I think you'd want to see the protocol. I think someone would, you know, want to investigate and ask for the protocol to see, because I've been, I'm aware that when people do research, the protocols are a little more basic, you know, do this, do that, do this, and not so much. But I don't know if they'd have the reasoning. You don't really have it in the paper, and like I said, it seems to be needing more explanation.
Needing more explanation. And boy, I tell you, I hope I never see one in the wild, and I really hope I never see one in captivity either, the coyotes. Dr. Maureen Hackett, thanks for explaining this to us and shining a light.
I could get more help maybe, but...
Well, no, you were. I think it's a confusing situation as to why it's even happening. But it's something interesting that we didn't know about before. Dr. Maureen Hackett, thank you so much for coming on the show and for your expertise tonight.
Thank you. Bye.
You got it. Bizarre, right? Bizarre as to why they would go to such lengths to prove that it's not a unique species. Very, very interesting stuff. I don't know that much about wildlife. I'm not a hunter. I didn't really grow up here. We see some black bear in Minnesota, in New Jersey every now and then, but not too many coyotes. So it's all new to me. I like to chat about it and learn about it when I can. It's 9:46. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, the funniest obituaries you'll ever hear.